Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I got a little something to show you this morning. I run into a lot of people, go a lot of places, talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I ask people, say, you know what a Buckeye is? You guys know what a Buckeye is? And they, you know, they don't. Like you ask people what a Wolverine is. Some people can explain what a Wolverine. You ask them what a Badger is, they can probably tell you what a Oregon Ducks, you can tell them what a duck is. But a Buckeye? Buckeye? What is a Buckeye? And I said, well, what is the mascot? What's the mascot? And they don't know. They don't know what the mascot of the Ohio State Buckeyes is. And I said, well, haven't you ever really seen the down in the end zone or on TV? Haven't you seen that guy called Brutus Buckeye? Hey, pull that up there real quick, Connor. Let's see how quick you are, how Johnny on the spot you are. Go to Brutus Buckeye. Brutus, I'm going to show you something here. Bear with me. Brutus Buckeye. Pull him up there, Connor. There he is. Put him on your screen. Click on any one of those. That is Brutus Buckeye. Some people have stallions as their mascot. As I said, Wolverines, whatever. We have the Buckeyes. Because the Buckeye is a nut. No, I don't mean a nut in that they celebrate. Buckeye's a nut. That's a nut. Look here. Okay, there's Brutus Buckeye. Okay, it was Brutus Buckeye. But I'm holding my, as Rush would say, never nicotine fingers, a Buckeye. Here it is. And it's a little inedible nut that is pretty much native to here in Ohio. In fact, we had something come through about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that killed almost all the Buckeye trees in Ohio, very few of them. Michelle and I have planted a few out in our yard. And I was out for a walk yesterday to a place that will remain private. And I came across a Buckeye tree, a bunch of Buckeyes. So here's what it is. Okay, look now. This is a Buckeye because it is a buck's eye. It has to do with the deer. The deer. The Buckeye. See the little pupil? Dark brown around it. That is where the Ohio State Buckeyes got their name. Now, I'm going to do this. You think this is crazy. last month, what was that? August. Always lousy month for donations. Bad month last month. Always happens. People going back to school, vacations, credit card bills come in from everything they did all summer. So I'm going to send a Buckeye to anybody today who makes a donation. You can go online, make a little donation. I don't care. It's $5. It's going to cost me a buck and a half to mail it. So any donation at all, I'm going to send you a personally autographed Buckeye. Not true, because you can't write on it, okay? But you'll be, here in Ohio, they're like rabbit's feet. We think they're good luck. People rub them, rub the Buckeye. So anybody makes I'll check online today, or if you send us a check by mail. Listen, I'm not trying to sell you a Buckeye, okay? Buckeye isn't worth anything. But if you send us an offering and you put in a memo, Buckeye, send me a Buckeye, be happy to send you one. So there's your history lesson for the day, the Ohio State Buckeye. Buck, that's a male deer, Buckeyes. Cool. It's 911, isn't it? I was going to open up with, I got something I'm going to open up here with. We got John Diamond coming in here with us, talk about his Faith and Freedom Conference and a lot of stuff I want to be able to chew on. And I'm gonna play a video here in a minute entitled "Have You Forgotten" by Daryl Worley. You know, it was 18 years ago today. I'm writing a great commentary tomorrow. I mean, I've already got it done. I got up early this morning. I was up about, I don't know, 4:45 or 5. Got to work on it today. Listened to Mike Heath in one ear and typed in the other. You don't type in the other. Typed as I listened to it. And I got, I said to my wife, if you're 25 years old, hey, Jared, how old are you, Jared? Connor's running the board, I know. How old are you, Jared?
30.
Okay, you wouldn't work. If you're 25 years or under, you probably don't remember 911. Oh, you might remember it. But you don't have vivid memories of 911. 25 and under. That means in 911, if I get it right, that was 18 years ago. If you're 25, you were 7 when it happened. Maybe you'll remember it a little bit. 24, probably not. 23, definitely not. I want you to think how much the narrative of 911, how that whole thing has changed over the years, and how remember how we had that shot of pride in America and stand up and fight and kill the Muslims and let's go get them. And George Bush said, they'll hear from us soon. And now we know that whole thing was a fraud, don't we? We know it was a fraud. I talked about that. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? That's what I'm writing on tomorrow, by the way. But we've forgotten, see, and here's what we've forgotten. Daryl Worley, we're going to play a song here in a second. I'm giving you a fair warning right now. Listen, YouTube will probably ban us, okay? They'll call this copyrighted material, and they probably will ban us. So I'm telling you right now, if you want to find the show, you're probably going to have to go to CoachDaveLive.com, which is where I tell you to go every morning anyway. It's streamed free there just as well, okay? We got bopped off YouTube the other day because I played some video. Hey, folks, if you put a video on YouTube, isn't it for public consumption? I mean, isn't that the purpose of YouTube? When you put a video out there because you want a lot of people to watch it. So we take a YouTube video and we play it on this show and they say it's copyright infringement. Every one of my shows copyrighted. Kyle at Right Wing Watch, he uses my stuff all the time. He chops it up and uses my stuff all the time. I guess that's not copyright, huh? I don't think YouTube bans him. But anyway, point I'm making is this. We have forgotten, haven't we? We really, really have forgotten. And you know, folks, that's what they want. They want us to forget. They want us to forget. To think of all those ideas about being a conspiracy theory and conspiracy theory, we've come to find out was a term that was made up by the CIA. And you walk to the average person, you talk to them about chemtrails. They think it's a conspiracy theory. They don't know what you're talking about. I was talking to a guy yesterday. I did a radio program. I won't tell you who it was, a national radio program I was on. And I brought up Tower 7 at 911. In fact, Tower 7 fell, and the report that just came out that it's physically impossible for that to have happened. And that man, national radio host, not Glenn Beck, not a big name like that, but he's a national radio program, had never heard of Tower 7. Never heard of it. Heard about the Twin Towers falling. Didn't know a third one had fallen. I had to send him some information on it. Couldn't believe it. So we're 18 years gone, 18 years down the memory hole. And people 24, 25 years and younger don't even really remember, have no memory of it. What do you suppose the percentage of people under 25 years of age would be in America today? I mean, you could probably Google it and find out. But 25 and under, I bet you it's 35% of the population probably have no firsthand knowledge. It's like people going back and studying the Kennedy assassination. They can go study the Kennedy assassination, but they don't remember the Kennedy assassination the way I remember it. I was 10 years old. Boy, do I remember that. Man, do I remember that. And if you were alive in 911 and you were an adult, boy, you remember that. Everything would follow up. But you have to understand that most of the people in America really don't. They don't understand it. And that's the way they plan it, see. They do a hit job like they did on 911. How about Oklahoma City and Ruby Ridge? Oh, you think those are conspiracy theories? You still don't believe that stuff, right? You don't believe that stuff? Oklahoma City? You think that was Timothy McVeigh? Tell me you don't believe that. Come on. But see, they're out of our memory. They're out of our memory. And because they're out of our memory, we got a third of the population. Connor, when you get ready to play this thing, I want you or somebody to Google what percentage. Well, let's see this. What percentage of Americans are under 25 years of age?
I found this on the web.
Let's see what Siri say here. Siri, she found it on the web. Doesn't mean it's true. course, they never tell you what you want to know, right? United States, how about this? Under 25, amazing. 33% of the population. 33% of the population is under 25 years of age. 24% is under 18. 24% of Americans are under 18, have no knowledge of what happened at 911. 9% are 19 to 25, I'm looking here right now. So that means that there's 1/3 of the population was not alive on 911. They don't really know what happened, do they? And those of us who do know what happened, they've been so programmed that, wait till you read tomorrow's commentary. So let's just sit back a minute. Listen, get ready. They're going to ban me, probably going to ban me on YouTube. I don't know how many times I can tell you, but this is worth listening. This is Daryl Worley. Have you forgotten? Have we forgotten? Have they forgotten? Whatever it is. Now listen, remember, talking about bin Laden, we thought it was the Muslims and all that stuff, right? We really think it was 18 Muslims with box cutters. Huh? If you believe that, I don't know what to tell you. Go ahead and play that, Connor. I'll hold my Buckeye as I listen to it because it's good luck, right? Have you forgotten?
I hear people say we don't need this war. But I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down.
Freeze that, please.
They say we don't.
Folks, think about Christianity. Don't think about America. Don't think about the Twin Towers. Are we going to maintain Christian America by backing down? Keep going.
Realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away? Have you forgotten when those towers fell? Had neighbors still inside, going through a living hell. And you say we shouldn't worry about bin Laden. Have you forgotten? They took all the footage off my TV, said it's too disturbing for you and me. It'll just breed anger, that's what the experts say. If it was up to me, I'd show it every day.
Amen, I would too.
Some say this country is just out looking for a fight. Well, after 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right. Have you forgotten how it felt that day to see your home? People blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside, going through a living hell. And we vowed to get the ones behind bin Laden. Have you forgotten? Soldiers who've gone away to war, and you can bet that they remember just what they're fighting for. Have you forgotten all the people killed? Yes, some went down like heroes in that Pennsylvania field. Have you forgotten about our Pentagon? That we lost and those left to carry on. Don't you forgotten. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten?
What if our government permitted this to happen? What if they permitted it to happen? What if this was done on purpose? Think of the millions, literally millions and millions and millions of lives that changed that day. Think of the Patriot Act and all the spying that's going on right now. Think of the men who went and fought and died in Iraq and Afghanistan. Think of the freedoms that we've lost.
Dave.
Why? What if it was a lie? Hey, Raj.
I often think, and I'm not a vet, so I'm always careful to address this topic because I never want to offend anybody, or I'm thankful for a vet. So I say this with that foundation, but if I was a father and I sent my son to some of the things that took place after 9/11, and the spirit of freedom or helping a country or whatever, and my son's life was lost or he came back with a limb missing, I think I would just be pissed off. Yeah. Now that's
Roger.
And I don't mean to offend anyone, and I'm a full supporter of our military. But when I think of what transpired after that, overseas, and the loss of lives, recklessly,
the Patriot Act,
foolishly,
the Unpatriot Act,
it would kill me as a father. And I pray for those that may be listening who have that experience. But it would just kill me, because I'm telling you, we wasted a lot of lives after 9/11.
Well, America changed. Look at it. Look at America today, the surveillance state and all that stuff that we have, all in the name of what? Security. And every time I go through the airport, I ask those guys who want to mug me and put their hands down my pants and do all that kind of stuff. I ask them, I said, who could I speak to that could show me a list of somebody that you've actually caught? Because that's all a facade too, right? It's the appearance of being safe. It's a deterrent. You know, and I know, so they want to get somebody on one of those planes, they'd get it on there. Come on now, grow up. Grow up. Have we forgotten? I haven't forgotten. I fight it every day. I'm going to blow you away. Does anybody know who was Attorney General, who was appointed Attorney General of the United States 7 days before 9/11? Anybody know who was appointed Attorney General 7 days
before?
Robert Mueller. You know who was appointed CIA director shortly after that? John Brennan. Do you know who was appointed national, what's that, NST, National Secure, what? Do you know who was appointed that? Why, that'd be James Crapper. Did you know this? Did you know that Attorney General Bill Barr and Robert Mueller's families are best friends, that their wives attend Bible studies together? Did you know that? Bill Barr, it'd be like me and my buddy Norm. I do the crime and Norm investigates me. Boy, boy, but the fellows, the corruption is so deep. Always follow the money. You do know about Tower 7, right? I don't need to go back there and show you that Tower 7 fell, not being struck by an airplane enough. First of all, the planes could not have brought down the towers, but let's forget that. Nothing struck Building 7 and it came down. Most people aren't even aware of it. I'm going to move on. I didn't want to spend 15, yeah, I did. We needed to spend 20 minutes on that. They're lying to us. I got my Buckeye here. I'm going to keep rubbing my Buckeye. asked John Diamond to come and join us today. Dr. John Diamond, Faith and Freedom Conference. We're doing this Faith and Freedom Conference coming up here. I don't know. I got so many things going on in my life. I can't even remember the months. We got it coming up here soon, John. I know it is. And I'm going to be there. And, hey, by the way, listen, Friday, you don't want to miss Friday. Dr. Patrick Johnston's going to join us. Dr. Patrick is the writer, the producer, the creator, the whatever, of The Reliant, the movie that's going to hit the theaters on October 24th. Brian Bosworth's in it. Kevin Sorbo's in it. A lot of other famous people are in it. The Reliant, it's a Christian movie with guns. I'm in it. I have a cameo. If you go to the movies with me, I'll point out which me. It happens in about 3 seconds, so you got to be looking fast to see me. I had a cameo in it. Michelle's got a cameo in it. But anyway, after about 2 years now, the movie's been done. They've been doing everything they can to try to promote it and get it out there. It's hitting the screens on the 24th of October all around America. Dr. Patrick's going to come in, and he's going to talk to us about the Reliant, what it's all about, how you can help. We ought to really, really get behind that. By the way, Dr. Patrick Johnston is the husband of the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston. Doc Johnston was an activist before Elizabeth was. Elizabeth was home raising their babies. So they're quite a power couple. Don't miss him. He's going to join us Friday morning. John Diamond, come on in here, bud. I'm sorry I chewed up so much of your time. Hang on, John, before you come in. I didn't give anybody a chance to comment or say anything or tell me I'm full of baloney and they believe the official story. And I wonder if I'm looking real hard to see if maybe James Mueller was on the Warren Commission too, the investigation of Kennedy. I'm not sure. I think maybe he was, but that's a joke. Anybody, come on in. Quiet crowd today. Quiet crowd. All right, let's bring Dr. John in. Go ahead, Jeff. You want to say something, Jeff? Go ahead, Jeff. I saw your microphone there. Go ahead.
I'm a seasoned viewer. Not an old viewer. I'm a seasoned viewer.
Yeah, I just saw an Trent just put in the I was looking at the chat. Prince says, "Man, there's 42 people in here today. There's always that many people, folks. Listen, if you think there's only 42 people watching this, you're missing the boat. Okay, more than 42 people. There are 40 people that are in the huddle here, live talking, dialoguing with us. But there are many more that are watching it." Anybody else, anything they want to say here, anything want to clear your chest of or your conscience or anything?
I bought that narrative until about 2011. And then after watching videotapes of the Tower 7 falling and watching other videotapes of the actual planes flying into the buildings, I realized that some really good videotapes of the first and the second plane flying into the building revealed that there was no windows on those planes.
Right.
So after that, I started swallowing the wet red pill. Of course, about that time, I started following you and watching some of your videos. And back when you were doing short little video segments there and trashing Obama about every time you got an opportunity, and I was right behind you. So, the thing about this deal right now, we've been in Afghanistan for 18 years, being sure to take care of the poppy fields over there for them so we can be sure and bring all the heroin over here and keep our people lost. And I got a nephew that has been called up to go. And I'm praying about every other day to make sure that Trump will follow his promise and get our guys out of there. We don't need to be taking care of the poppy fields anymore. We don't need to be supplying the money for the deep state and the CIA and their human trafficking and everything else. So, yeah, I'm throwing it all out there, but I don't want my nephew to go over there.
So, Kevin, the commentary that I'm writing tomorrow is what else have they lied to us about, right? Now that we see what's going on, folks, without any shadow of a doubt, we know there's a deep state. We know there's one. We see it, right? We see it. And if they do what they did to Donald Trump, if they would do what they did to President Trump, can you believe anything that they've told us? And why is it that anybody that questions anything that the government did is a conspiracy theorist? Why is that? It's crazy. So we're stuck in a dilemma here. Now we know the truth. What do we do? Because until we go back and clean up that mess, I don't know. Somebody,
you know, I have to be behind Trump, because I know if he fails, not only does he put his life in danger, he puts his kids' lives in danger, he puts his grandkids' lives in danger, and these people have no problem killing people.
Kevin, it's what I said the other day to all those who get on me because I'm a Trump supporter. I say this: if Trump is part of the deep state, we're screwed anyway. We're just so screwed that it doesn't even matter. And I don't have false hope. But I clearly see how deep and dark the left is, their desire to kill babies. Did you see that? A judge in the David DeLeiden case, the one that was against Planned Parenthood, what's the name of the medical? I can't remember. Whatever. You know, the judge yesterday ruled when evidence was presented that the babies were born alive and that they were kept alive for body parts. Did you see the judge yesterday ruled that's not relevant? That's not relevant. The fact that the babies are born alive, that's not relevant. See, that's kind of crap we're dealing with. So either Jesus is going to come or we got to clean things up. It's one of those two things. If we want to remain a banana republic, then that's up to us. We either got to clean things up or Jesus is going to come. Because if Jesus doesn't come, we are in a mess. And those of you who are staking all of your hope on an imminent return, sky-splitting Jesus coming and pulling you out of this thing, you better prepare that may not happen.
That's right.
Our grandkids are going to live in this. How could a smart guy like me be so deceived for so long? How could we be that deceived? And we are. Do you think the pastors will ever say anything about 911? Are they going to say anything about this report that just came out that I spoke about yesterday and I'm putting in my article for tomorrow, that it was a physical impossibility for this Building 7 to fall, a physical impossibility? They're lying about that. What else are they lying to us about? And who knows it? Are any of the congressmen, they know it? Remember Miss Prison of Treason? Remember that? Anybody remember that? So we got to see. I don't know. We just got to trust in the Lord. Somebody else.
Coach. First on
the church, not let them get along with doing nothing. We have to do this.
We have to do it. We have to do it, Robert. Good deal.
Yeah. Do you remember, brother? Let me tell you what. I'm nobody special, but that day of 9/11 in 2001. I was sitting in my living room with my oldest son at the time. He was 10 years old, Jonathan. We were reading our Bible that's what we did and that's what we do. Brother, I was reading Revelations 18. We were reading Revelations 18. And brother, I just clicked the news on because that was normal too. And I saw the first plane as I turned the news on strike that tower. When you read Revelations 18 and the fall of Babylon, and it says within 1 hour, great was her fall. It was exactly 1 hour when the first tower fell and when the second tower fell. The connecting of the dots is right, brother. All the lying going on is because it's been masterminded truly by the Father of all lies. What's happening physically, there's something happening spiritually behind the scene, brother. There's this thing and that other building falling, brother. I've always said that. How the heck did that other building fall? Nothing struck it. It wasn't on fire and it fell.
And Bobby Lee tells me that he went and visited the 911 memorial in Washington, D.C. He went to, they have a memorial, videos and all that stuff. Bobby said not one time, not one place, nowhere in that 911 memorial is Building 7 even mentioned. Not even mentioned. Did you know Building 7, if I understand it right, housed the CIA, the FBI, the Secret Service were housed in there?
Pentagon that was struck, brother, where are the wing holes that struck that building? There aren't. It was a complete round cylinder that struck that building.
Don't believe your eyes, you're going to believe what they tell you. And listen, you're not a conspiracy theorist. Well, if you are, remember, Psalm 2 tells us the kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. You're not the conspiracy theorist. You're the conspiracy analyst. That's what you are. You're analyzing these conspiracies. We're coming to the truth. John Diamond, come on in here, man. I've taken up too much of your time as it is, but it's worthy. What's going on, John? I don't mean what's going on. What's going on out there in Pennsylvania? Pull it up there for us, Connor. John, you're going to have to unmute yourself, buddy.
How's that?
There you go. It's big time. Right. John, it's big time media, man. Come on, it's big time media here.
Hey, that's what we got to be. We got to be the media now. I was on the phone. You just talked about Dr. Patrick Johnson. I was on the phone with him last night on a conference call, and we texted back and forth. But I'm telling you what, we need to take the media mountain, and we, you know, what you're doing, and I'm probably going to be starting my own show here maybe at the beginning of the year. And Patrick Johnson's, you know, got some Christian worldview movies out there. I'm going to Texas to this next weekend to learn to do the same thing. I mean, we got to take the media mountain. We've got to put a Christian worldview out there, whether we're using YouTube or the internet or movies or my Americanism course. I mean, whatever. We've got the technology now. It's not very hard. It's not very expensive. We just all got to shout from the rooftops, from wherever we can, whether it's conferences, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook. I mean, we've got to be the voice, and appreciate what you're doing.
Pardon for me for pooping in the pool here, but what's the reaction of your pastor buddies, John?
Well, some of them are right on it. Some of them, be honest, Coach, here's what I honestly believe. I believe that they are waiting for people to lead. And you know this, you've seen this yourself, and I see it out here myself. I sat in a ministerial meeting right here in Corey, Pennsylvania, where I live. And there was 11 pastors there. There was there was a Catholic priest, there was Presbyterians, there was all of them, because they have this ministerium. I went in there yesterday and I told them about our conference and told them, you know, what we were doing and talked about religious freedom and how we've abandoned God. And man, they were all just agreeing. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, you know what? Half of you are the problem, probably even more than that, you know, endorsing homosexuality and, you know, just everything else that's going, abortion and stuff like that. And I'm just looking around the room, just kind of surveying it. But I gave them flyers to our conference. I said, you're all invited. It's all free. Bring your people. You know what? And they may not like me when they leave, because they're going to hear Rusty Thomas. They're going to hear you. They're going to hear me, Bradley Dean. They're going to hear Matt Truella. I mean, they're going to hear truth. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do here with this whole conference here is, you know, I was praying about this last night, and the scripture kind of came to my mind. I talked about the wedding supper, and it said, you know, a whole bunch of people were invited and nobody wanted to come. And then Jesus said, go out in the highways and the byways and invite anybody that'll come. And that's really the word I got last night. You know, I got a lot of people that have come, that have sponsored this event, and we're pretty close to just covering the overhead, which is really the speakers. The cam's free, the cabins are free, everything's given to us. So we're real close to covering that. And this next 2 weeks, I'm basically just going out here to about every church I can think of in this area. Just bring your people. All right. If you can't afford it, bring your people, throw a little donation in the plate. I don't care, but we need to get as many believers. I saw somebody had posted that. We need to awaken the church. And that's exactly what this has been from the beginning. When I planned this is just to awaken the church, speak truth, and let people know that there are some courageous people out there that are willing to stand up and I want to show them. That's why every one of you guys are invited, because you guys are the courageous ones. And that's, you know,
John, it's on the screen right now. We got up on the screen, Faith and Freedom Conference, click on the view schedule. And you just talk to us a little bit about this, John, because this really is an event there in Pennsylvania that people on the eastern part of America can get to. You live out near is it Somerset? You live out in that area, John, or you live up by Erie more? I should know better.
We're Erie. Edinburgh's just south of Erie, so okay. We're within about an hour and a half of Cleveland, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. We're right in the middle of a triangle, but I live in Erie County, and I sent Jared an email from an article on the Hill. And it talked about the 10 most important counties for the 2020 election, and Erie County was number one. So, I mean, there it is right there. The 10 counties that will decide the 2020 election. And you scroll down just a little bit when you get to the first one. Let me see. Keep going there. Whoever wins Erie County wins the presidency. Obama won it two elections in a row. He won. Trump won it by 1.6%. And again, we're not talking about swing states anymore. We're talking about swing counties. There it is right there, Erie County, Pennsylvania. So if you want to go to that website and read all that, yourself, that's how important this conference is. That's why I'm inviting as many people as I can for free. We've got people coming in from Washington, D.C. I'm talking Family Research Council and, Tony Perkins, not him himself, but one of his representatives. We've got Faith and Freedom Coalition, which is Ralph Reed, which is President Trump's right-hand man. They all understand how important Erie, Pennsylvania is. And I'm really hoping to have another one in the spring and then maybe another one right before the election. So, we really need to pour our time into just getting the church woke up. And that's what I'm doing here. And that's why we're really kind of our church and the people in my church are really very sacrificial and they're giving to, kind of bankroll this whole thing themselves. So we're inviting as many people as you can. We're going to make it free. If you can't afford it, throw a dollar in a plate, just like you do with your huddles. You know, I got your emails.
Take us down through, for those who don't know, run real quickly down through the schedule, who the speakers are going to be and what the speakers are going to bring to the table.
Okay. Let me see. I can pull it up myself or I can read it off your screen. Okay. Yeah. Dran Reese, she's president of Salt and Light Council. She's out of San Diego, very highly connected across the nation. What she does is get biblical citizenship, basically tables in churches. So she pulls one layman out of every church and says, you need to have voter registration drives. You need, don't put the work on the pastor. Pastor's got enough on their plate, but you need to have somebody that's an activist in your church that's signing people up. And she's got so much resources on her website. So she's a major asset for any church that wants to, kind of get politically active. Down there a little bit further, there's William Federer. Me and Coach know William Federer real well. Me and him were up, me, you, and Bill were on the same speaking circuit there with Chaps and Garrett Lear. I think this was like 2006. We were
too all much information, John. Too much information. They don't care about me and you and Chaps. Come on, what's Bill Federer talk about?
Okay, William Federer. I mean, between him and David Barton, you're talking about probably the best Christian researchers and historians. Out there, if you're gonna homeschool your kids, he's got a whole library of books that you need to get history books and teach. This is what we got to do. We got to re-educate our children because they're stealing our children. We got to re-educate them on the true Christian founding of this nation. William Federer is probably one of the best, right there with David Barton. Next, there's good.
Go ahead, no, go, man, go. Yep, right after, real quick.
There's Matt Truella. He's talks about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, how, basically the same thing I say in Romans 13, there's a chain of command. Anybody in that chain of command can basically say, no, we're not going to do this. All right. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, in my opinion, it's going to take states. I don't even worry about the federal government anymore. We need to elect governors. We need to elect representatives that'll basically tell the federal government to go pound salt. You've overstepped your legal authority so many times with Roe v. Wade, separation of church and state, gay marriage. They have no constitutional authority to come into the state of Pennsylvania and force any of this stuff on us. So we need to be electing representatives, and especially governors that'll just basically go. And that's what Matt Truella's message is. I mean, it's a real good message. You got a good book there you ought to read. And there's me. I'm going to be talking about the appeal to heaven. You guys have had me on here enough. You can scroll by me. Dan Fisher does the Patriot, the Black Road Regiment, the Patriot pastor. He's going to be doing it right about lunch. So we're going to kind of have a working lunch, kind of like a dinner theater, I guess you would say. So we're going to feed everybody, and he's going to have the full stage set up, and he's going to do his thing for an hour or so and go over that. So it's going to be kind of like a dinner theater, kill two birds with one stone.
It's Rusty just one day, right, John? It's just one day.
Yes, it's just one day. Yeah, it's 9 to 4 tentatively, but we'll just go with it.
Okay, keep going.
Rusty Thomas. I'm gonna tell you the thing about the Rusty. I mean, you guys, Operation Save America, here's the thing. When I tried a little tentative run for governor here in Pennsylvania last year, I met with an abolitionist group, and they knew Rusty real well. We got him on the web and had a conference with him. For a long time, and it's until recently that I was always pro-life. I'm not pro-life anymore. All right. I'm an abolitionist because pro-life is a lie. Before the Revolutionary War, you had all these anti-slavery people, and they would run for office on this anti-slavery platform, and then they would pass the Fugitive Slave Act. So, I mean, we got politicians, especially a lot of Republicans that love to talk the talk. We're pro-life. We're pro-life. No,
we need it. Rusty Thomas, who's next?
Bradley Dean. I think you guys have had Bradley Dean on before. He's going to be talking about they're stealing our children, talking about the LGBT movement, especially. That's going to be a powerful message right there. And there you are at the very end. So you, the
two. So John, how do people right now, Mike Spaulding as well, Doc, they know Dr. Mike Spaulding. How do people share this information? This thing is 2 weeks away, John, 2 weeks away. It's not going to cost people a lot of money. Come to it. Maybe you have to spend a night in a hotel, but this lineup, brother, I kept kind of quiet as you were doing it. what a home run list this is of people. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. I see here it says tickets. Buy tickets now. How much is a ticket, John?
Well, we started off at $49, and then I got a bunch of sponsors, so we've lowered it to $25. Now I'm just basically to the point, just show up. We're not going to turn anybody away. If you can't afford it, show up. We want to pack this place. You know, and like I said, if we got to go a little in the red, we can do that. That's not a big deal. That's why we've been given our time and our talents and our gifts and our money and everything else. We just want to go to the, like Jesus said, go to the highways and the byways and just get my help.
Compel men to come to Christ. John, let's shut up here a minute. Anybody got a question for John right now? Anybody at all? Anything they'd like to bring up? We're going to have John talk about appeal to heaven here in a second as well. Some other things that he's doing. Any questions at all about the conference and how you can help promote it or what we need to do and why this is important to get to? We could turn this into a holy huddle, pass the salt. I won't do that to you, John. These are our kind of people, though, aren't they, brother? These are our kind of people.
And I mean, being honest with you, Coach, I mean, what I want to do is I just want to hand this off to you after we're done. I want this to be a huddle, a Western Pennsylvania huddle. I mean, you're one of the few people that actually have boots on the ground afterwards, and we're not all about just come and listen and don't do anything. So, I mean, I want as many people to sign up with you. I want Western PA huddles to go forth, you know, especially through Erie County, which is my area. So that's why you're last. That's why, you know, you and Bradley Dean are the two kind of the firebrands that we want to get people fired up. But you're last just for that reason, that you actually provide people something to do when it's over instead of just waiting until the next conference.
Amen. Anybody out there?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
What's the major airport we could fly in?
Erie, Pennsylvania is just 45 minutes north, and then Pittsburgh is, I think, 2 hours south. So Erie or Pittsburgh are probably your two closest ones. You can just Google Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, and you can see right where it's at on the map.
Okay, now, John, let's make it sharp now, because some guys like me don't listen real clearly. Best airport.
Best airport is probably Erie, just because it's so close. Pittsburgh's the best airport, but Erie's going to save you a lot of time if you can't fly into it. Pittsburgh would probably be a little cheaper.
Pittsburgh is the airport to get in. It probably will cost you more to fly into Erie.
Correct.
Right? So, but you can fly into Erie, but you could fly into Pittsburgh and rent a car. How far from Pittsburgh are you, John?
We're looking at about 2 hours, a little under 2 hours.
A little under 2 hours to get to Erie, Pennsylvania. Erie's way up in the middle of nowhere. So Erie, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania first, and then Erie if you can get into it. And Jeff, I don't know what you, sometimes you get those free flights. This would be a fabulous conference to be part of. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I would like to get involved with some of this. I'm in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Oh my goodness.
So if anybody's going, let me know.
Johnstown, hey. Get up there, man. Altoona, the horseshoe train track. Oh my, horseshoe curve. Johnstown. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's great. That's historical area down through there.
My parents were born and raised in Johnstown.
Get up there and wear your cloth hat.
I'd love to be there.
Hey, amen. Well, we'll look for you. Anybody else? Come on in. We got a little bit of time here. And I want John to talk about his appeal to heaven.
Well, Coach, I'm excited about coming. See you guys. Great lineup.
You going to be there, Robert?
I'll be there.
Awesome, boy. Awesome. This is John's put a lot of time and effort. Listen, I go back a long way with John Diamond. I go back a long way with him. He used to live here in Central Ohio. And back when everybody was just figuring out I was crazy, John didn't think I was crazy. And we've been working together in this battle for a long time, and it's funny how the Lord sort of brings people back into your life. A couple years ago, John and I reconnected. This guy's got the real deal. He's written several books. He's into producing movies. He's got, John, talk about one of your movie venture, what you got going on with that. Is there a website that can see that, John?
Go to teachamericanism.org.
Teachamericanism.org. Teachamericanism.org. Because John is a, how about this one, folks? He works nights. He works nights. He's a working minister, a working minister. He works, right? And he produces films. And one of the films he's produced is getting national recognition. Go ahead, John. Brag on yourself a little bit.
Hey, Teach Americanism right here. Scroll down a little bit. It's what I call the 12 lies. And they're all, you know, under 30-minute videos that exposes a lot of the lies that there they are, the Christian church, right? We've got two of them.
So, John, these are videos that people can go to and watch.
That is correct. Yeah, you can click on it. It'll take you to a YouTube video.
On one of those real quick, Connor. Click on one of them so that you guys can see what you can do at John's website. And what's the name of the website, John? TeachAmericanism.org. TeachAmericanism.org.
This is a 60-minute video. Just play a clip. 25 years, and I've asked them why they refuse to confront a culture, a society, and especially a government that has become increasingly more hostile to God and to the people of faith. And the most prevalent answer that I have heard coming out of the mouth of pastors is that Romans 13 teaches us that we have to submit to every law of human government. Now, this is the most important lesson of all the lessons.
Okay, let's stop it, because these are videos that they can go watch on their own. John, these are all available there. How many of them are there, John, on your website?
We've got two of them posted right now. We've got three other ones taped and recorded, and we're going to be publishing them before too long. But I got to go leave Monday for Texas for the Content 19 Film Festival. And they got a hold of these videos, and we got nominated for 3 awards. So it's kind of like an Oscar, an Emmy, or whatever these, you know, junk Hollywood stuff do. But we got voted Best Patriotic. We got nominated for Best TV Series and Best Apologetic Teaching. So we're going down there. Hopefully we can win some awards from our peers in the Christian film industry, and then start building on it from there.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So you get to go to Dallas. They're honoring you with what you're doing. So, John, you're just not some flunky out in the middle of Erie, PA that's just out there doing stuff. This is dynamic, cutting-edge stuff about Americanism, Christianity, and Americanism, how they meld together. Church groups could use this. Homeschoolers could use this. This re-education of our children. You could take it in your Bible studies. Lots of great stuff there that John is making available for people. Somebody come on in here. Nobody wants to come in? I'm typing away over here. I'm making all kinds of notes.
You know me. I'm gonna invite John to check out that link that I put in the chat for him. We need to all be supporting each other, I think. Check out www.ourstab.com.
Ourstab.com. Cool. Okay, John. I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry, man. I'm multitasking. I'm doing about 12 different things here, John.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Go ahead, brother. Let's talk about the appeal to heaven. Even though you're on the show and you discussed it before, we have new listeners all the time. What is an appeal to heaven?
Primarily, what the appeal to heaven is basically a Christian civil rights movement. All right. We have to understand, and this is why Bill Fetter is coming in. We have to understand our rights are God-given. They're constitutionally protected. All right. And we have every right to exercise our faith in schools and the government, everywhere else. And that's really modeled off of what Martin Luther King did as far as, you know, hey, our rights are God-given, constitutionally protected. The government doesn't have any right to infringe upon our rights. And if you understand what has happened in America, just look at what Jesus taught. we are the light. Okay. The government has basically made the light illegal except for within the four walls of the church. And then we wonder why there's shootings. We wonder why there's darkness. We wonder why there's immorality. All right. The darkness cannot stand against the light, but we're either too scared, too timid, too afraid, too, don't want to be called names, even though Jesus said you'd be called all kinds of names. You know, we need to have the boldness to take the light out because the darkness cannot stand against the light. And that's what this is. It's basically a kind of a Christian civil rights movement where we say, no, we want to, you know, the First Amendment to the Constitution doesn't say you can't pray in school. It says the government can't tell you you can't pray in school. Matter of fact, it's a federal crime for anybody to try to suppress one of your God-given constitutionally protected rights. I spoke about that at coaches conference. You know, it wasn't wrong for coach to pray with his players. It was wrong for the government to tell him he can't.
Amen. Pray. And then the people who tried to prevent me ought to be in jail.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, yeah, there are actually federal statutes that actually make it illegal for anybody, including a judge, to suppress one of your God-given constitutional rights. So the first thing we got to do is just educate the people about what our rights are, where they come from, what the First Amendment actually says, and then give them the courage to tell the government to go pound salt, basically.
John, the Constitution does not grant people rights.
It's exactly right. That's what I tell people. That's why we got to go back to the Declaration of Independence. God gives us our rights. Our rights are God-given. They are constitutionally
inalienable. What does inalienable mean, John? What's inalienable mean?
Well, it means two things, actually. One, it can't be taken away, but it also means that you cannot even surrender them. I'm a former police officer in the military, you know, and when we'd arrest somebody, you know, you'd read them their rights. You have the right to remain silent. You have the do you want to waive those rights? And that's what they say. And they say, yeah, I'll waive those rights. Well, guess what? You can't even waive your rights because at any time you can say, you know what? I'm done. I want a lawyer. I'm not answering any more questions. Okay. You can choose not to exercise your rights or you can be intimidated not to exercise your rights.
Hey, John, is your skin color inalienable?
Is my skin color? It can't be taken from me. Is that what you mean?
Right. You can't give it away, can you?
That's exactly right.
Huh? Did the government give you your skin color?
No, absolutely.
No, your skin color is God-granted, isn't it, brother?
That's right. That's exactly right.
God-given, inalienable skin color. So you have the same God-given, inalienable rights, meaning what? Government cannot take them from you any more than they could make you look like Michael Jackson. That's change your skin color. They cannot. Folks, we have to understand this. That's been the mess. See, the church has bowed its knee to government, right, John? God's no longer the creator. God's no longer the author of inalienable rights. Government is now the grantor of rights, and they are alienable. When the government grants them, the government can take them away. See, they're trying to take the right to bear and keep arms and making it a government right. They can't make it a government right. It's an inalienable right granted to them by who, John?
The creator.
The creator granted them to him. It wasn't Madison or Jefferson. It wasn't those guys that created it. They just acknowledged that you had those inalienable rights, like your skin color, given to you by God, and that nobody, including government, can take them away. Isn't that what the first 10 amendments of the Constitution tell us?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the Constitution, that's going to be the third video there. The lie is the Constitution was written to control the American people. No, it was not. The Constitution was written for the American people to control the government. And when the government tries to infringe upon your rights, you basically just tell them, no, this is my right. It comes from God. It's protecting. Now, you can persecute me. That's what tyranny is. Tyranny is when the government oversteps its authority, constitutional, legal, moral, or whatever else. And it's only ever people. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. All right. We talk about, well, Christians shouldn't worry about their civil rights. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was getting ready to get beaten, said, what did he say? Are you going to beat a Roman citizen?
Amen.
And they were scared to death because the Roman Constitution made it illegal to beat a Roman citizen without a trial. All right. And he used his civil rights. He used his God-given rights to keep, you know, basically corrupt government officials off his back. And then he appealed to Caesar. And then he went to Caesar with it. So, John,
you're telling me that the First Amendment to the Constitution says Congress shall make no law. It doesn't say anything about Coach Dave. It doesn't say anything about John Diamond. It doesn't say anything about Marcus Freed. It doesn't say anything about anybody. Congress shall make no law regarding what, John? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor the prohibiting of the free exercise thereof. So they're saying government, you can't take that away from John Diamond. That's given to him by God. The right of John Diamond to keep and bear arms is an inalienable right, shall not be infringed. They put the restriction on the government. They did not grant John Diamond the right to have a gun. You have a right to have a gun, and the government cannot restrict it. This is so simple, folks. This is so simple. We've got it totally upside down. Why? Because the judges have infiltrated, the legal system has infiltrated, and judges, it's a critocracy. Government by judges, that's where we are in America. And John, I'm eating up your time, but this is so simple. I got to say it over and over so people understand it.
Yeah, no, this is America 101, and this is what we need to get back to. We need to get right back to the foundation. My rights come from God. The Constitution doesn't say I can't pray. It says you can't tell me I can't pray. All right, and I don't care who you are. Supreme Court, I don't care, governor, you can't tell me I cannot pray. They tried that with Dan. They tried that with Daniel, right? Didn't Daniel go, you don't have a right to tell me I can't pray. My right to pray, you know, comes from God. You have no authority to do it. When you do it, you become a tyrant. You can use the power of government against me if you want, but it doesn't mean you're right. And that, you know, that's why we have a cry for divine justice. We got to appeal above the government's head, because they're the ones that are the lawbreakers. They're the ones that are the criminals. We're just doing what God has told us to do. And that's, I mean, abortion, gay marriage. I mean, you can name, you can go right down the list. I mean, we're doing what Almighty God has told us to do. They don't like it because they hate God. And we just need to stand bold in the face of this evil, and it will flee.
John, I spoke all the way through your interview. My wife just sent me a text that says, let John speak. So I apologize to John. You're here to speak. People get it. John, we got a couple minutes. Let's run through this whole thing again for us, okay? Where it's going on, what's going on, how they can come, what it's going to cost, where do they stay, all that stuff. Let's run down through it again.
All right, yeah, and most of that information is right on the website. So it's going to be probably 9 to 4. It can go up till 5. I mean, if we run a little long,
I think you ought to call Judge Roy Moore and have him come.
Well, you know, there's a couple people I almost had. That may be another conference. David Barton was almost here. I've talked with Judge Moore's people before.
Okay, I interrupted you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, I think we got an excellent lineup right there. I mean, this lineup is just activists. These are people that understand, you know, the condition of this nation. And that's what we want. That we want that to become infectious. I mean, and you know it, people hear me and they get fired up. People hear you and get fired up. They hear Bradley Dean, they get fired up. That's what we want this to do. And that's why we want as many people as we can get here. We want this enthusiasm. We want this courage, you know, to roll off on everybody else. And just this kind of sissified Christianity that we've been living under for, well, as long as I've been saved anyway.
Have you forgotten what it felt like, folks? Have you forgotten? And I'm going to tell you this right now. If you think the left is going to go down quietly, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Have you forgotten? Do you remember 911, what that looked like? Can you imagine 911s going across in maybe 6, 7, 8 different cities in America? Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? Those are the kind of people that we are dealing with here in America. And we don't want to get you there to get you all fired up. We want to get you there to get you activated. Get you activated. Because when the hell hits, it's going to be too late to organize. You with me, John?
Yeah, that's right. And I just did a radio interview up here on WCTL. Kathy Spaulding's probably going to be putting it on the website here. You can listen to it. I think it's about 18 minutes. But that's exactly what I said, exactly what you said. I said, if you hear my voice and you're like, wow, this is great, but you don't come, you're not doing your part. If you come and say this is great, but you don't leave the conference and do anything, you're not doing your part. All three have to take place. You have to come, you have to get fired up, but you have to, and that's why Dave's here. Then you have to be able to put boots on the ground and you have to take, you know, occupy.
Faith and Freedom Conference, September 28th, 2019, up in Erie, Pennsylvania. Fly in, it's actually Edinburgh, fly into Pittsburgh or Erie if you can, but certainly Pittsburgh. Don't miss this opportunity. Let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Hey, John, I see that day approaching, brother.
brother. You and me both.
Thanks for being with us, John. Sorry, thanks, I walked off with me today.
That's all right.
Bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.